All right. Thank you, Tony. I invite you to turn to 2 Kings tonight. We're going to look at chapter 2, verse 9 through 14. My mother-in-law would make one of the best chocolate pound cakes with an icing on the top that I have ever put in my mouth. And we'd go see her, she'd have that, and she would have pecan pie. We get to dessert at her house. She said, "Now, Phil, what do you want? You want pecan pie? You want chocolate pound cake?" I said, "I'll have one of each, please." And she told Delane years ago, she said, "Don't ever give him choices. He always wants a double portion." So that's the title of our message tonight in 2 Kings chapter 2, beginning with verse 11. As they walked along and talked together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and the horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. And then he took hold of the garment and tore it in two. And Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. "Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" he asked. And when he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. Here's a man who had been a great prophet of God, and suddenly he is taken by a chariot of fire, never tasted death. We see ascension. He's gone to heaven. This is actually an Old Testament picture of what's going to happen during New Testament times, the rapture. We studied it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. There's going to be the shout of the archangel. And then there's going to be the trumpet sound of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And those of us who are alive, when Jesus comes, those who are born again, will experience what Elijah did. Elijah was caught up in a rapture, in a chariot of fire, and carried to glory. Well, Elisha witnessed all this. He was the protege. He was the heir apparent to Elijah's leadership. But at one point, Elisha was asked by Elijah. Elijah said, "Now, before I go, I will give you anything that you want." Suppose the billionaire came along and gave you a blank check and said, "You fill it in." Now, what would you ask for? Some people ask for wealth. Some people want fame. Some people want possessions and ability. But here's what Elisha said. He said to Elijah, "I want a double portion of the Holy Spirit," really is what he's saying, "that God anointed you with here on this earth." God performed miracle after miracle through Elijah. The showdown at Mount Carmel, God allowed fire to rain down and destroy the prophets of Baal. And you follow Elijah's life, he called a whole nation back to faith in God. He was a mighty prophet. And now Elisha says, "I want a double portion of the power God has placed on you." And notice what Elijah said. "You ask a hard thing." But he said, "If you are with me when I'm taken up, God will do it for you." First of all, I want you to notice the commitment here. And look at 2 Kings. And look at chapter 2, and let's look at verse 1 through 7. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel." But look what he says. But Elisha says, "As surely as the Lord lives, as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" Yes, I know, Elisha replied, so be quiet. Then Elisha said to him, stay here, Elisha. God has sent me to Jericho. Company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and said, you know the Lord's going to take your master away from you today? Yes, I know. And he said, be quiet. Then Elijah said to him, stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan. And he replied, as surely as the Lord lives and you live, I will not leave you. So the two of them walked on. 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Notice, Elijah said to Elisha, if you are with me when God takes me, then you'll get the double portion. You see, all these places that he's going, Elijah is going, he always says, Elisha, you just stay here. Now, why do you think that Elijah was telling Elisha, if Elisha wanted a double portion of the Spirit upon him, why would he say, stay here? I'll tell you why. He was trying the faith of Elisha. Ladies and gentlemen, this relationship and what's going on right here, if we're going to count for God, this is the way we have to live for Jesus. We've got to stick with him. We've got to follow him. And everything we say, everything we do, everything that we think. What we see here is a trial, but we see the determination of Elijah. I don't care what it cost. I don't care where you're going, Elijah. I'm going with you. For as sure as you decide that, as sure as you agree that you're going to allow God to use your life, Satan is going to come against you. Notice, first of all, this commitment helped him to overcome discouragement. Also, in verse 2, you find Elijah discouraging him. There in verse 6 again, he says, no, you don't have to go with me. And he says, yes, I am. So it says that they went to some of the most wicked places, and Elisha's there with Elijah. Now notice here he says, now Elisha, you want the double portion, you want the power of God upon your life, you want to be my man, you want to be my prophet, you want to be used, but Elisha, I want you to see, it's not going to be easy, it's going to be difficult. Nobody can accuse Jesus of saying living the Christian life is going to be a bed of roses. You can't find anywhere in the New Testament where Jesus says that you're not going to have illness and you're not going to have difficulty. We have to take up our cross and follow him. There'll be some persecution. There'll be some criticism. There'll be some crisis that come our way. But Jesus never said, in this world, you're not going to have tribulation. He said, in this world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. If you're going to be used by God, it's got to be in spite of the discouragement that comes our way. But not only do you have to overcome discouragement, not only do you have to overcome difficulty, but notice he had to overcome derision. Look at verse 3. It says there were some prophets there. We go down a little further. It says there were 50 that were there. They were at Bethel and they said, you know, the Lord's going to take your master away today. They were scoffing. They were ridiculing Elisha. Your master's going to be taken away. Are you going to serve God now? Well, Elijah's going to be gone. Then they began to deride Elisha, and you see they were trying to ridicule him. They were trying to make him look foolish that he had decided to follow God. When the devil can't scare you out of serving Christ, and he can't discourage you, he'll get people to laugh at you for your commitment and also some convictions that you have to live in Christian life from the Word of God. Many of you in business know that if you stand up for Christ and you know that your competition and others behind your back, they're going to say things because they know you stand for Jesus. It takes a strong commitment. a commitment that can't be overcome by persecution, a commitment that can't be overcome by derision, difficulty, and discouragement. So we see Elisha had a strong determination. I'm with you, Elijah. You're not out of my sight. Then notice a confirmation. But not only must there be a strong determination, I see down in verse 8, there must be a spiritual identification. He says here, Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed on dry ground. The key word here in verse 7 and 8 is the word identification. And notice the persons who were identified together. It says 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too. So Elijah and Elisha, the disciple and the master, the two stood by the Jordan. And then Elijah smote the water, and it parted, and they crossed on dry ground. If you're Elisha, are you impressed? You think about the children of Israel, and they're involved in the Exodus, and they get to the Jordan River, and all of a sudden they've crossed on what? Dry ground? And then what happens to their enemies? They're destroyed. What we're looking at here is the power of God. You know, sometimes we think, man, if I could just pray more and I could read my Bible more, I'd walk closer to Jesus. Let me turn the sock wrong side out. If you're close to Jesus already, you're going to pray more and read the Word of God more. If you just be closer to Jesus, then you'd have that motivation. So there's got to be identification. We must come to the river of Jordan, that brings me to the place, not only the people, but the place where they stand. Verse 7, they stood by the Jordan. But you know, the Bible talks about the river Jordan. The river Jordan doesn't really symbolize going to heaven. I don't think I've turned liberal. I'm guilty of heresy here. River Jordan doesn't represent going to heaven. Children of Israel came there across the promised land. But then death to a defeated life. Death to a self-centered life. And the resurrection to a victorious life. So when we think about the River Jordan, they left the carnal life to enter the spiritual life, the land of promise. We think about baptism. It just represents, we believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It's symbolic. But I want you to think about this, that when we're baptized, we're symbolizing our death with Him, and we're raised from the water, we symbolize our resurrection. And remember that Jesus, where was He baptized? Jordan River. So when He was baptized there, what did that represent? His death, burial, and the future resurrection, 3 days after He was placed in that tomb. And so we talk about the Jordan River, we're talking about death. We're talking about death to self. We're talking about the sacrificial substitutionary death, the atoning death of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul was talking about death itself, even self. We want to be filled with the Spirit. If you want to be a better Christian, if you want to be a better preacher, a better servant of God, self cannot be elevated. Here's another thing preachers have got to be very careful about. We do. God, give me that double portion so I can be the premier preacher in this area, so that people will praise my name. It's got to be death to self. I want you to think about when a man was executed on the cross. Just think about this. He could only see in one direction. Where was that? Straight out and down. He's nailed to that cross. The second thing is, he don't have any plans. Somebody else had a plan for him. And the third thing I want you to see here, he's headed one place. He's headed to death. So the Bible says they crossed the Jordan. They went across the Jordan with the Master. And let me ask you a question. Have you gone through the Jordan with the Master? Elisha was willing to forsake position, possessions. But notice the petition down in verse 9. When they crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I can do for you before I'm taken from you." And Elisha said, "Give me a double portion." Look at verse 9. It came to pass when they were going over that, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what you want me to do for you." Power and prayer are inseparably linked. God gives us the fullness of the Spirit in answer to our prayer, and we've taken death to self. There's been an identification with Christ, then we're ready to pray. You don't need to turn there. In Luke chapter 11, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall the Holy Spirit, God, give the Holy Spirit to them that ask?" Acts 4:31, "And when they prayed, the place was shaken where they assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit when they had prayed." Now here's a strong supplication. Here was Elisha. He's coming to God and he's asking for his best. Elisha was wanting the power of God to work through him. Can you imagine having to take the place of Elijah as a prophet, as powerful and successful as God had made him? So Elisha's actually said, "I know you've used Elijah, but God, my prayer would be you'd use me in a double portion of your Spirit." One person said, "Do you think God would be concerned about my little problems, about my little wife?" And a wise man said, "Can you think of anything in your life that could conceivably be impossible to God, or that could conceivably be beyond God's knowledge and concern?" So you go back to verse 14, we see the presentation here. He took the cloak fallen from Elijah, struck the water with it. "Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" he asked. "When he struck the water, it divided to the right, to the left, and they crossed over." It's a simple appropriation. We had identification, now an appropriation. He said, "You've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, you'll have that double portion." What was it like to watch a chariot of fire come down, Elijah's on board, and then he's out of sight? And then he took the mantle of Elijah and fell from him and smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And look what happened. The waters parted and it's dry again for Elisha to go over. He has the double portion. Look back at verse 13 and what it says. He talks about the appropriation of the Spirit of God in his life. And notice when this mantle was left behind, he took it up. That took faith that fell from him and used him. You know, when we can't, God always can. And he's the one that gives us the power to live for him. Those who are going to be used of God, I believe, have got to have a special anointing by the Lord. Now, we're all baptized with the Holy Spirit at the point of our conversion. But I want to tell you, you better have a special anointing if you want God to use you. In Luke 24:49, I see something very exciting. And I want you to see Elijah's power is related to the ascension of his Master. Luke 24:49. Did you know that if Jesus had not ascended, the Holy Spirit could not be poured out. That's what Jesus is teaching. Now in verse 49, he says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you." Now what was that? That's the promise of his Spirit. But he says, "Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." He led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted his hands and he blessed them. And it came to pass while Jesus blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. He looked at them and he said, "You tarry right where you are, and you will be endued with the power on high." Here we are with Elijah and Elisha. Elijah's gone in that chariot of fire. Ooh, guess what? Double portion for Elisha. And we see at Pentecost, Jesus told them there to wait. How long did they have to wait? 40 days. Now, remember to read John 7:37 to you. "He that believes on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly," that's the innermost being, "shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, which they believe on him should receive." Now look at this. "For the Holy Ghost," the Holy Spirit, "was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified." So there are the disciples. There are those who are gathered there at Pentecost, the upper room. And they watch Jesus ascend higher and higher till they lost sight of him in the clouds. Let me give you something that'll make it real easy to show you what happened at Pentecost. I'll say it slow so you can write it down. Jesus was taken up. Just write down, Jesus was taken up. The Holy Spirit came down. The Holy Spirit came down. The disciples went out. The disciples went out and lost people were brought in. You know what? That's how God does it today. When Elijah was taken up in that chariot, he left behind something just as Jesus left behind the promise of his Father. Elijah left behind that mantle which represented the power of God and the Holy Spirit of God working in that prophet. Came time when that mantle was lying there on the ground, Elisha rent his old garment, laid it aside to pick up his brand new garment. You know, that's the same picture. For the lost person, when we get saved, we take off the old. We put on that new nature in Christ. It also means we're going to appropriate the power of God as we surrender to the Holy Spirit every day. It means we take off those old garments stained with sin. Means we put aside the old garments of our own righteousness and our own works, and it means to put on a brand new garment. You know what we need today in America? We ought to all be praying for a double portion. You know what we ought to be praying in America with our churches? We ought to be praying for a double portion on our churches. Our nation is in the state it's in right now because of casual Christianity. Charles Stanley summed it up years ago in one of his books. We just haven't lived in the power, in the might of the Holy Spirit, and allowing God to use us as his instrument. People keep asking, will our churches come back from COVID to just the pre-COVID numbers and the pre-COVID amount of salvations that we saw? I don't think it's going to come back unless we get serious about following the Savior and getting that double portion and getting the gospel out to lost people. Remember, John Wesley was the founder of Methodism. If John Wesley was resurrected on this earth, he would not recognize the Methodist Church anymore. Have you ever read about him and how much he preached and how much he traveled? He didn't have a Greyhound bus, he had a horse. Somebody asked him after he got in his 80s one day, it said, "You're near the end of your life. How'd you like to spend your last day here on this earth?" And here's what he said. He said, "I'd get up before daytime and I would go down and walk to work with the coal miners that lived near me, and I would preach the word of God to them on the way to work. And then I would leave them and go to the town square. And there's some men that gather there every morning, and I would preach the gospel to them." He said, "Then at noon in the lunch hour, there's a little local school here. I would go in and preach the gospel to teachers and to the students that are there in that little country schoolhouse. And then in the afternoon," he said, "I'd get out in the streets and walk home with the men who are coming home from work, and I would preach the gospel to them." And then he said, "I would take a lantern that night to a village church, and I'd preach the gospel to people there." That's how he wanted to live the last day of his life. And so this man that was such a skeptic that asked the question, he sort of picked at him a little and said, "You really going to keep that kind of pace?" And here's what Wesley said, "So I live, so shall I die." He was convinced there was no greater joy and contentment than to live such a life you'd want to continue doing the same things, even if you knew you were being prepared to be taken straight to heaven on your last day. We need to live Spirit-empowered lives. May the Lord give us a double portion to empower us. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this account. Thank you for the mighty man that Elijah was. And you, by the Holy Spirit, inspired the writer to preserve this for us in the 21st century for a reason. And then we see a man like Elisha coming along. He knew your call on him, and he knew your hand had to be on him for him to be spiritually successful, to glory and glorify you and honor you. And Lord, help us to have that kind of relationship to you, the master and the servant, so that people will see that it makes a difference to belong to the King. That we've got to get the message out to so many people who are lost and headed for an eternity in hell. And so would we. Except for maybe another Elisha that crossed our paths with a double portion that shared the gospel with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Good night.